There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one.
Good morning. Welcome to a radio message of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. We are a new church on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. We have a mission to glorify God and make disciples by using Bible-centered teaching to build a community that worships God, grows in His Word, serves others, and plants churches. Join us for our Sunday morning gathering at 11:15 a.m. and Wednesdays for our prayer meetings at 6 p.m. at Exmoor Baptist Church Outreach Center at 11624 Ockahonic Neck Road, Exmoor, Virginia, 23350. We would love to hear from you. If you have questions or have a prayer request, please contact us at shorecommunitybible@gmail.com or call us at 757-710-6843. Now, let's get into this week's message. We pray that you and your family are blessed by the teaching from God's Word.
Greetings. This is Clarence Baylor III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it. Today I'll be sharing a message from Psalm 128. The title of the message is Kingdom Man. But first, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, you are great. You are wonderful. You are magnificent. We give you all the glory today. Help us, Lord, right here now to submit to your will. Please bless us in a mighty way as we look to your word in the Bible today. Free us of distractions. Give us a clear mind to hear and understand, as well as desire to apply your truth to our lives. Help us, Lord. Give me the strength. Give me the heart to say the words as you intend them to be said. Help me to submit to your spirit as I decrease my ideas so that your will be done. Have your way on this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we end our The Family Matters to God series, today the focus is on the subject of the man. If you are interested in hearing other messages in this series, I invite you to go to our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Click on the worship tab and you will find that other messages in this Family Matters to God series. This morning we're going to look at Psalm 128. To help us understand the importance of the kingdom man and the impact that he has overall. In his book, Kingdom Man by Dr. Tony Evans, he defines a kingdom man as a man who visibly demonstrates the comprehensive rule of God underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of his life. Again, Dr. Tony Evans, in his book, he defines a kingdom man as a man who visibly demonstrates the comprehensive rule of God underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of his life. The hope for today is to ignite a passion in men to take God seriously and live obediently to his standards. In other words, it is time for men to man up. In Psalm 128 today, we will see how a man who takes God seriously and lives obediently to his standards are able to see the impact in four areas. Kingdom men are blessed in their personal life. They are blessed in their family life. They are blessed in their church and community, as well as they are blessed in future generations. Now, I don't know about you, but I like snow. After it has snowed and look over the horizon and see how everything just seems to be covered with a pure white blanket. However, one of the things that has bothered me is when I see the prints of an animal that has been all over the yard, seemingly to mess up the perfect picture. What I dislike the most is that I cannot sometimes tell what type of animal was there, because it may have been something that I maybe need to be cautious of, or maybe not. Anyway, the point of the matter is that there is evidence that something has been there because of the footprints, but there is not a sign of what it was. Whatever it was, it is nowhere in sight. As I think about the presence of man in general, it is like the prints in snow. There is evidence, but there's sometimes nowhere to be found. There is evidence, no doubt, that the man was once there. Just look at all the children who are born. There was a man involved at some point. However, in many cases, the man is not present physically, and therefore the mom and children are left to fend for themselves. We know this is an issue because if you look at the statistics of broken homes where the dad is not present. Also, not being present physically is not the only issue, because a dad can be in a home but not be present emotionally. It's going to be them focusing on their personal desires, their work, or other distractions that are away from the home. However, the biggest issue is the absence of the man spiritually. It's almost like what we read in Genesis chapter 3 after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, when God called out and said to Adam, "Where are you?" So this is a call for all men, young and old, single or married. Where are you, men? This is a call for all the men to take God seriously and to obey his standards. It is so important. Our life depends on it. Our family lives depends on it. Our church and community lives depend on it. And future life of society depends on it. Let's read Psalm 128. It says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children, peace upon Israel." There is no doubt this psalm is for everyone, but it's largely focused on the man. The context suggests that this psalm is geared towards the man, but the main evidence of this is in verse 4. In verse 1, the Hebrew word that is used to describe man is the same that is used in Genesis 1:26, where it says, "Let us make man in our image." This refers to man as mankind. But in verse 4, however, the Hebrew word for the man is a strong verb for the man as described as a male warrior. This is not the same Hebrew word as used in verse 1. It is why it is fitting to set the verses in Psalm 128 and look to them from the perspective of the male as we talk about the kingdom man. In verse 1, it says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord." Let's look first at the word blessed. It is found more in the Old Testament than the New. It is used in many uses. It is found throughout the Bible. There are times when God blesses creation. It is times when creation blesses God. And there's also times where mankind blesses each other. We first read about the word blessed in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. This is an example of God blessing creation. "And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." Here, God is giving animal life the privilege and goodness to have the pleasure and power to increase in its kind. Similarly, Adam and Eve was given the same mandate in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, as well as Noah in Genesis chapter 9, verse 7. Blessings refer to the favor and goodness of God that has been designed to flow to you and through you. Looking at verse 1, it says that the favor and goodness of God is on everyone who fears the Lord. There is a condition to this blessing. The word for fear is the Hebrew word yare. In English, this word fear combines the ideas of dread and awe at the same time. So putting them together means to take God seriously by coming under his rule in such a way that you worship him without rivals. To fear God means to acknowledge him as Lord in every aspect of life, every aspect, your actions, your words, your thoughts, every aspect. If we are honest, we are guilty of not giving God the reverence that he deserves. We're guilty of not fearing him. Just as it is written in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It reads, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To the priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have you despised your name? You offer defiled food on your altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Where the Lord spoke through the prophet Malachi, telling the priests and the people that they're corrupt in their sacrifices, not sincere in their worship or have the respect for God's covenant, and just will ensure if repentance does not occur. Continuing with the rest of verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." In other words, God will favor and provide goodness upon those who walk in his ways. To walk implies continuous action. In the physical sense, it requires you to place one foot in front of the other to get to a desired destination. Deeply seeking, walking refers to a way of life. So to walk in his ways means to live in such a way that is aligned with God's standards and character. To live obediently Here in verse 1, this is the foundation on which the rest of the psalm flows from. A kingdom man is called to take God seriously and live obediently to his standards. As a result, the kingdom man will be blessed in many areas. In the first area where the kingdom man will be blessed, you will see in verse 2. That's in his personal life. It says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Pay attention to the pronouns in this verse, your and you. That is very important. It does not say us or them. It talks about you. That's personal. If you walk in his ways, you will benefit from his favor in your personal life. When you eat the labor of your hands, being able to work, being able to have your talents and gifts to use for some type of labor. The first area where you will be blessed is your fortune. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about being rich so that you can use it as some type of idol. Overall, what I'm referring to is the use of fortune is to say that the man will be prosperous in anything that he does in the will of the Lord. Secondly, we're blessed in our emotions. It says you will be happy. You will be happy having joy in our feelings. Even in the midst of facing trials, you will be happy. We're going to have some hard times, but at the end of the day, we're going to still know that we're blessed because of his favor, which allows us to be happy and to endure, but also to be able to enjoy his goodness, to taste his ultimate presence, and to have that peace that is so unspeakable. Then thirdly, you will be blessed in your future. The scripture says, it shall be well with you. It, what is it? It is everything. And the word shall or will indicate some future context, and shall be well with you. So personally, this man who fears the Lord and walks in ways will be blessed, being prosperous in all that his hand touches, blessed in his emotions, as well as blessed in whatever lays in his future. That's something he can look forward to. That's a reward. Not only is this man blessed alone, but naturally those around him are going to be blessed also. We see this in verse 3. His family life is going to be impacted. That's blessing number 2. In this scripture of a kingdom man who takes God seriously and live obediently to his standards, the second way he is blessed is in his family life. Verse 3 says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine and the very heart of your house. It's important to understand the vine. Firstly, you must know that if a vine is to produce fruit, it's to get off the ground. To get off the ground, they have to be tied to the post in order for them to cling to something to be able to climb. The higher it's able to climb, the more sunlight it can absorb. The more sunlight it absorbs, the greater ability that it can cluster. And when it clusters, it produces the fruit of the grapes or can be squeezed into juice. Also, understand that vines are very delicate, but the strength comes from what it is clung to. The scripture says that the wife shall be like a vine. This indicates that a kingdom man is very important in the fruitfulness of his wife because the kingdom man is needed for the wife to cling to so that she can climb and reach her highest potential that God calls her to, and so that she can use her gifts and talents the way that God wants her to use them, so that she can produce the fruit and receive the blessings that God wants to bless her with. The kingdom man not only is needed in order in his marriage to prosper, but naturally the children in the home will be blessed also. Verse 3 continues. It says that your children, like olive plants all around your table. Now, olive plants are very important because they're symbolic in the Bible to represent peace, prosperity, as well as divine blessings and spiritual anointing. So a kingdom man who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways, is blessed personally, is blessed in his marriage. And now we see that they're blessed by having children who are like olive plants. Now, in Jewish society, the table is very important because the table was not just for sharing the meal. The table was a time that the kingdom man was to lead, to discipline, to teach, to know, and to love. That's a great blessing where if God gives you favor to see the blessings around your table, to entrust you, not to make them look more like you or to act like you, but to teach his ways so they can go out and impact his kingdom. And then in verse 4, it repeats this main idea of the scripture text. It says, behold, blessed shall a man be blessed who fears the Lord. Take him seriously, obey him, and he shall see the blessings. When the kingdom man is blessed, it flows outward. A true blessing flows outward. As we transition to verse 5, the blessings transition from outside the home to the church as well as the community. In verse 5, it says, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. This word Zion is seen throughout the Bible. Zion was a mountain. It was a holy place where God's presence was found. There was also a city called Zion, the city of David. But most often in the Old Testament, Zion referred to the temple where the people would go to worship. Zion was where the father would lead his family to go and worship. It was at Zion the covenant was renewed, where blessings were transferred. So here, to say that the Lord will bless you out of Zion, it means that as a result of being connected to the church, the body of believers, a kingdom man will benefit from God's glory being manifested by the way of the blessings of others in the church family. And the church is so important because the church, again, should be like an assembly line where we're able to disciple the next generation to be the husbands, to be the fathers, to be the community leaders, overall the kingdom leaders they're called to be. We should be calling them princes because we're already claiming them to be the kings. Also, the Bible in verse 5 in Psalm 128 says, "May you see the good of Jerusalem." Jerusalem is the surrounding land or community. This means a man who takes God seriously and obeys the Lord will be blessed in his community. Now, there's no doubt that there are a lot of problems in our communities, but the truth of the matter is a lot of the problems have root in the kingdom then not being present. If men do not stand up and be what they're called to be, if they do not stand up and have fear of the Lord, take a stand firmly and be present in the home, not just physically or emotionally, but most importantly, spiritually, teaching the word of God, the home won't be blessed, the church won't be blessed, and the community will not be blessed. In verse 6, it says, yes, you may see your children's children, that's your grandchildren, that's a blessing, and peace shall be upon Israel. One thing I used to hear my grandmother say, there's such a blessing to see my grandchildren. In Proverbs 17, verse 6, it says that children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. I remember a story where Priscilla Shire, a Bible teacher, as well as a Christian actress, who is the daughter of popular pastor Tony Evans. She starred in the movie War Room, one of the most popular Christian movies in recent history. After War Room came out, she had opportunity to sit with her grandfather to watch the premiere of the movie. As she was sitting there, she asked grandfather, what was it like to see his granddaughter on the big screen? He shared it was God's grace and mercy, his goodness and his favor. To understand the significance in the moment, you must know a little bit about the Evans family line. In fact, the Evans for generations had been negatively impacted by drugs and alcohol abuse. It was two daddy. This is Tony Evans' daddy and Priscilla's grandfather. It was two daddy who surrendered his life to Christ and became a kingdom man that God destined him to be. Two daddy was so blessed by God that he was able to be happy. He was able to see the fruit in his wife, and he was able to see the fruit of his children. But it was not always like that, because the first year of his conversion, he met a lot of heartache, and it came from the closest person, his wife, because she despised the fact that he was now a Christian. She despised the fact that things were going wrong in their lives, but he was still having joy. That no matter how bad she treated him, he was still happy. It came down to about a year later, after his conversion, that she finally surrendered. She said, "Whatever has happened to you, I want that." And then as a result, now we see the fruit. We see the blessings that flow from who daddy down to his children and now his children's children. And the family has been blessed tremendously because of the faithfulness of one man, but overall because of the favor and goodness of God. Now, there's also an example in the Bible about a kingdom man. His name is Asher. The Hebrew word for Asher means happy. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 13, it says that Leah, who said, "I am happy for the daughters who will be called me blessed." So she called him Asher. Now, Asher was a content man. He was a happy man. He lived up to his name. He had four sons and one daughter. Now, what is recorded in Asher's genealogy in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, it says that all these sons of Asher, they were the heads of their father's houses, choice and mighty men of valor, heads of the princes, and a number of them enrolled in genealogy for the service and war was 26,000. In essence, Asher and his line had mentored leaders who in turn became leaders who mentored kings. Asher, being happy, a faithful kingdom man, eventually was able to influence future society leaders. Now, I don't know about any other man, but as for me, I know I have no business of being able to influence future society leaders, but I know if I abide in God's word and take him seriously, he will bless me. Now, that is a great blessing because it is by God's grace that even with my messed up self, he still chooses to use me for his kingdom purposes. Now, again, that's favor. And That favor is what the Bible says is available to anyone, especially for men, as we look at this scripture, that if you choose to be faithful and take his word seriously. It says in the scripture that he will allow you to be blessed for future generations. I hear so many in our generation who don't want to have children because it says that our world is so messed up. Sometimes I can think the same way also and say, yes, this world is messed up. What kind of world is this going to be for my kids to be raised in? But when I read truth here in the word, I have nothing to be afraid of. If I am being faithful, I can trust that God will make things better by the way of using faithful men. It is important for kingdom men to link up as a church and come together as one to take God seriously, fear him as he should, and walk in his ways. If we do that, we do not have anything to worry about because we can be rest assured that God's will be done. Bottom line, it's time for men to man up. Man up. To man up means to take God seriously and live in a way that is aligned with what the Bible says. There is so much I can say about how to take God seriously, but ultimately, it must first start with us all surrendering our lives to him. We must fall flat on our face, all of us, especially as men. We must fall out and groan to God and just ask him to help us be the kingdom men that he has called us to. Also, the same thing is for the ladies also, our moms, our wives, our sisters, our cousins. Fall on your face, cry out, groan for the man in your life, the men in your life, to be the kingdom men, to be in the place where God wants them to be. If the kingdom man is not aligned where God wants them, then the favor that God wants flow through them to his family, to his church, to his community, as well as future generations will not happen. On another hand, let us not miss the greatest blessing in all of this. The blessing of having God, the creator of heaven and earth, to be our heavenly father. A true loving father, not one who just leaves footprints in the snow. Our Heavenly Father's presence is all over. The fact that we're able to breathe here, the fact I'm able to speak, the fact that you're able to listen, to take another breath, to see the sunlight, the fact that you were able to go from place to place safely, you slept through the night, but his presence is experienced by you, assures that he is with you. In the Bible, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, it reminds us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And we have to remind ourselves of that. To the one who struggles with this, who denies that there is not a Heavenly Father who loves you, my prayer is that you will just stop and just ask the question, Lord, help me. Help me to submit to the Holy Spirit. Soften my heart. You have nothing to lose. All I read through the scripture is blessings. What's a greater blessing to know that after this life here on earth is done, that you will live on eternity with him? It's a greater blessing. By nothing, you have done nothing to deserve this, no matter how hard you've worked, no matter your accomplishments. But he still chooses to bless you because he is holy and righteous. He is good. He wants to provide his favor. But he, being holy, he has standards. He demands your respect. He cannot tolerate sin because he created us to have a relationship with him. Sin divides us. He has sent a way for us to be reconciled to him by way of his son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, his perfect blood, on the cross for the remission of our sins. In his favor and in his goodness, all we have to do is just believe, confess with our mouths, believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and submit to his will in every aspect. And to know that he was raised on the third day for our sins, you must repent of your sin, have sorrow for your sin, and have hatred of your sin, and turn to God. So that's the main thing. Nothing else matters. If you're not a child of God, if you have not already, you must ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart to allow you to change your heart. That is the question. Will you trust God today? Let us pray. Our Father, Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that you are a heavenly Father who loves us. We intercede now for fathers who do not know what fatherhood is, what the blessings that come from the fathers, and the fear that they need to have. Let us pray. Our Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for reminding us that you are a loving Heavenly Father. We intercede now for fathers who do not know what fatherhood is and the blessings that are in fatherhood. Help those families who have been deserted, who do not have the covering of the Father. We pray that kingdom men will step up all over the church, Lord, to fill in the gaps, to teach the way. We pray that for those who are trapped by the enemy, Satan, who wants nothing but to hold us in bondage. We pray that people will be free today, where they will walk in truth and in freedom that's only found in Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, I thank you. In all things, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, church planter of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to make Jesus as Lord of your life, we'd like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 a.m. on Sunday mornings in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in His Word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.